praise God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. I'm glad he loves me. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Daniel chapter number 1. And it is my desire tonight to communicate to you. And I want you to be able to hear me and follow me. And I pray God will speak to hearts. We're living in a decisive time. We got to decide what we're going to do. It's not quitting time. You don't quit till the horn blows. And, faithful unto death. Boy, don't you like that theme? And it's my desire to help you. I reminded about communicating, you know. I do preach with a disadvantage here with foreign language, you know. Usually when I go to third world countries like Chicago, I need an interpreter there. One fellow was riding down to a rural town, and he got pulled over by the policeman. The policeman pulled him over, and his wife was sitting in the passenger seat. He said, "Let me see your operator's license." And so he looked at him. He said, "Mr. So-and-so," said, "you realize you're speeding?" He said, "Yeah." And his wife said, "What did he say, honey?" And he said, "Did I realize I was speeding?" She said, "Oh." And he said, "You know, the speed limit here is 55 miles an hour, Mr. Smith." And she said, "What did he say, honey?" He said that the speed limit was 55 miles an hour. And she said, "Oh." He said, "Officer," said, "I see you're from Rocky Mount, North Carolina." He said, "The ugliest woman I know lives in Rocky Mount, North Carolina." She said, "What'd he say, honey?" She said, "He said, he knows you real good." Amen. God help us. Let's look over here in Daniel chapter 1, page 898. If you got an old Schofield Reference edition of the Bible. And if you don't, you're living under a strong disadvantage. You'll get you a good old Schofield. You don't have to agree with all the notes. It's the text we agree with. Man, I didn't get enough response right there. It is too early in this message for that thing. That I said it's the text. Man, all right. If y'all are falling out on me this early, we better call 911. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessel into the treasure house of his God. Let me just say, notice the contrast between the big G God and the little G God. But the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision, the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, and so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of their of they might stand before the king. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this afternoon, this evening, that you would arrest the attention of the listener. I know we're sober-minded. We've seen an answer prayer and new leadership in this nation. Thank you for our president. Amen. Thank you for the turning towards God that we see. But Lord, we got a long way to go. And I pray, God, this evening, not only here but abroad across the seas and surrounding this globe, as listeners would tune in, I pray that we would be strengthened in these latter days. When we leave the walls of this meeting place and go back to our prospective service fields, dear Heavenly Father, I pray we'd leave with a tenacity and a determination. Though it is the Laodicean hour, though it is a dark time and the sun is setting on its age of grace, that we'd leave with a determination to make a difference on 21st century humanity. Let us leave an impact for the glory of God. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and may long live old time religion till you come. Amen. Amen. This is a great story. You're no stranger to this historical text. I mean, most children from their earliest days of Sunday school learned the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den. And these are great characters, and really much attention and much admiration we ought to give to this book. It's the ABCs of prophecy, and we understand great things through the writings of Daniel. But I want to focus on a character here named Nebuchadnezzar. He was not just some ordinary king. He's the king of Babylon. You know, Babylon represents the world. Okay, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you all one more chance to start following me. And then I'm fixed to take the brakes off this thing. Babylon represents the world. And he's not just some ordinary king. You're not talking about some ordinary king. When you think about this king Nebuchadnezzar, he was a powerful king. Babylon was known as Babylon the Great. I'm talking about, man, it was the superpower of that day. And here this king Nebuchadnezzar, he's the leader of a world empire. He's a king who really in his reign, I mean, man, he was a winner. And he was successful. I think about him, not only was he a king who was powerful, he was a king that was pagan. You know, there's only two choices. You gotta get this ideology out of our minds that's creeping into our movement that it's okay that believes something else. Either we're right and they're wrong, Brother Shook, or they're right and we're wrong. You can't have it both ways. A double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. And he didn't worship, he's different, man. He didn't worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. He didn't worship the gods that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego worship. He worshiped pagan gods. He had a treasure house full of false gods and treasures designated to polytheism and paganism. He wasn't like these children of Israel. He wasn't like Daniel. He's different. And I know we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. Amen. He was a king that was a prevailing king. I mean, every track he made was success. I mean, he would go in and totally annihilate nations. He took everything. Most of the time he would go in when he besieged a city and he'd burn it, tear down the gates. It wasn't that he was wanting too much. It wasn't that he needed anything. He wanted more than he had. You understand? And as just like John 10 teaches us that thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. Let me tell you, the God of this world, the king of this world, he's in the same business. The king, he's to kill and to destroy. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to kill. He wanted to destroy. He wanted to take what wasn't his. That's what besieging is. It's taking something that's not yours. Amen. John 10:9, that thief comes up to steal and to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and may have it more abundantly. And the king of this world is in the business of taking what's not his. Amen. There is a king. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's an adversary. And when he goes in, I notice in this text, the first thing he does, he besieges Jerusalem. I mean, he takes new ground. You know, the devil is never satisfied with what he's got. I mean, he's got trophies and scalps hanging off his belt, and I mean, man, he's destroyed homes, and he's wrecked churches, and I mean, he's brought condemnation to nations and desecration to the things of God. I mean, man, listen at me, friend, but the devil's not satisfied with what he has. I wish I could get that through to some of these young preachers in here, that he's not satisfied with what he's done. He's not through. He wants your ministry. He wants your marriage. He wants your children. He wants your future. He comes to kill and to steal and destroy. That's what he's doing. And so he came into this place and he wanted new ground. He wanted ground that was holy ground. Jerusalem, Ariel, that place was a place designated for the people of God, for the worship of God. It was a special place. It was a holy place. Amen. I mean, it was God's ground. And by the way, thank God, that's where the embassy belongs. Amen. Is everybody okay? I didn't get enough on that. Who did you vote for? Hillary? Listen at me. I said that's where the embassy belongs, friend. Come on, man. I need help. This is hard up here, man. I mean, man, and he goes, he didn't need Jerusalem. He had all the land. But the devil is not satisfied. Nebuchadnezzar wanted new ground. I tell you what we ought to try to do and establish. If I can say anything, if I don't go any further than this point tonight, I'd like to just say, hey, man, we're losing ground. I'm not trying to throw a wet blanket on enthusiasm. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. But just look around, man. We're losing ground. Hey, preacher, look at me. We're losing ground, Reverend. Hey, we're losing ground, Sunday school teacher. We're losing ground, bus captain. Look around us. Look at the condition of society. It's in total depravity. This thing's getting worse and worse and worse because iniquity doth abound. The love of many is waxed cold. Man, we ought to try to get back some, take some ground back. Not that I've apprehended, but man, I tell you, praise God, they're voting tomorrow on the school superintendent for Rutherford County in Tennessee. That's our county. Murfreesboro is the county seat. And that superintendent is a member of Middle Tennessee Baptist Church. Right now, he's the president. He's the principal of Oakland High School, but he'll be standing before committee tomorrow. He's a born-again believer. He's an independent, fundamental, premillennial, missionary Baptist. He works our center aisle. I'm talking about in the dead sea. He prays with sinners. He's a soul winner. Hey, he works in our vacation Bible school in the decision room. And I mean, he's a God-fearing man. And I'm praying, hey, we get back some ground right there. The devil's come in and took away our public schools. It's not his school to take away. Hey, this is a nation under God, praise God. I'm a taxpayer. You own the school. A bunch of lesbian and sodomites don't own the school. Amen. I'm praying take some ground back. Our whole church is going to stand before us questioning tomorrow night at 6:00. If I get back in time, I'm going to. Man, don't you see we're losing some ground? The devil's in the business. Hey, the devil's in the business. He's not satisfied with just a little bit. He wants some new ground. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar wanted new ground. Nebuchadnezzar wanted necessary gold. In verse 2, you find that he goes into the house of the big G God and takes the vessels of the house of God. The vessels. Do you understand? These are instruments that are sanctified and set apart for temple worship. And he takes them back to Shinar. I mean, the god of Babylon. And he places them in the treasure house of Babylon. By the way, you ought to know by now that the devil is a good imitator. And you know, in 2 Chronicles and in Nehemiah, we find 1 Chronicles and Nehemiah, that the Lord's people have a treasure house. They had a place that was designated for those instruments, for those vessels. Hey, it was a special place for that gold and silver. These were things that God used in true worship. I'm talking about old-time religion, friend. By the way, if you're going to define true worship, you might as well call it old-time. Amen. Amen, praise God. Because, hey, and I mean, man, they were designated, but that's what he went in, and he desecrates that. He takes that and puts it in a place of godlessness. I'm talking about false gods, and puts them there, and he's doing his best to imitate. He places them on the walls of that treasure house with his little g gods, all of the vessels of their worship. And what he did, he just kind of blended it in. He just blurred it, if you will. If you went into the house of Shinar, if you went into their treasure house, all you could see was just a bunch of instruments of worship, but you couldn't define the difference. You know, that's what the devil's doing today. He's blurring the lines. Oh, you know he is. He's blurring the lines, and you take, he's the great imitator, but wait a minute, we have the originator of true worship. We got the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. We got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He's the originator of the real thing. But the devil's got this contemporary stuff in one hand and old time religion in the other. He's trying to confuse our young people. You know, he takes our sacred things like our songs. Our songs don't belong in the treasure house of Nebuchadnezzar. They don't even sound right when that worldly crowd tries to sing them. Help me now. Why you got amazing grace? It don't even sound right. They're trying to blend it. They call it blended worship, you know. They're trying to take our sermons. They're trying to take our style. Amen. They're trying to take what we are and blend that in and try to make it all look the same. I'm telling you, friend, hey, our songs don't fit in the treasure house of Babylon. Our style, old-time religion, don't fit in the treasure house of Babylon. We're never going to fit in. Haven't you figured that out yet? That there's a reproach. There is a blessed reproach that accompanies the old time way. We're called a peculiar people. We ain't supposed to fit in. We're supposed to stick out. Amen. That's what he wanted to do. He took the necessity, those necessary goals, and he does his best. Let me say to you, they mock what we do. They're mocking today. There'll be those that'll comment after these sessions and take these pictures, and they'll crop messages and put words in people's mouth, and they make light. You know, Nebuchadnezzar never one time took down those vessels. He didn't want to use them. He didn't want to use them. His grandson took some down one time, drank out of it, and God killed him. Can I tell you that are in here that just might be wanting to poke fun at this old-time religion and make fun of leather-lung, high blood pressure, bug-eyed, gravy-sopping, biscuit-eating preachers and King James? Just let me say, some of you that want to make fun of that stuff, I'd be very careful. You say, are you threatening me? Take it for what you will, bless God. I'd be very careful to mock God's man. I'd be very careful to make fun of this man. I'd be very careful to make fun of this old-time religion. I want to tell you something, friend. You better not mess with the vessels of God. Nebuchadnezzar didn't have a business putting his old grimy, worldly hands on those vessels. Amen. But that ain't what he really wanted anyway. When he besieged Jerusalem, history records that he only went back through there three times. He never spent one night. He just says, burn it down. Get rid of it. I don't care anything about it. I don't care a thing about those vessels. Just put them over there. Let's just make sure that they don't use them. Let's just make sure those that know what it's about doesn't use them. He didn't want them. What did he really want? It wasn't new ground. It wasn't necessary gold. I tell you what he really wanted. He wanted the next generation. We read in this text that he said, go down there and find us some children in whom there was no blemish. What he wanted was their best. Now, I'm very aware of this, that the devil will take anybody he can get. He'll take messed up lives, and thank God thank God that the Lord wants to save them. But the devil, let me tell you, the devil will take a messed up life. Though the Lord wants to save them, some won't be salvaged. More people's going to hell than's going to heaven. He'll take losers. Amen. He'll take losers. But that's not what Nebuchadnezzar wanted. What he wanted was the best. He wanted the saved. He wanted those who had been raised in an atmosphere like this. Who had been under old time religion. Who knew the songs of Zion, who were familiar, who dwelt in the shadow of the cross and positioned himself under the drippings of Calvary, and they'd been all around the good things of God. He wanted the saved. He'd rather see the saved as live wrecked. Sure he would, because you lose your influence. You lose your effectiveness. It reflects, amen. He said, bring to me the children, those princes of the king's seed. He wanted the king's seed. And then he told the eunuchs, the master of the eunuchs, he said, bring me the strong, and we're going to weaken them. First thing they did with those Hebrew men, they altered them physically. They weren't men anymore. They were not masculine men. They feminized them. They took away their strength. They took away their desire. What their goal was to do was to take the strength out of God's children. Let me get God's people. Let me get that next generation and weaken them.
Yes, sir.
Alter them. And when they made them eunuchs, you know this. This is no science lesson. I mean, the end of reproduction. They'd never father another child. That's what the devil wants. He wants the strong. The God of this world, he wants the separated. The Bible said those children whom there was no blemish, verse 4. He wants to see somebody who's been raised like this, some girl who's kept her purity throughout all these years, some boy who ain't got a tattoo all over him somewhere and 8 holes in his head. Somebody help me. He wants to find somebody with no blemish, and let's see what we can do. Let me have that one that was raised right. His mama was a shouter. His daddy was a deacon. Hey, let me get one of those. I like that. That's the one I want. No horror stories, no skeletons in the closet. He's after them. He's after this next generation. He wanted the strong. He wanted the separated. I say this, he wanted the special ones. These were ones who were well favored. People liked them, you know. We'd say they were cool. Not just the nerds. He's going to get them in a minute, the skillful. But he wanted the popular. Don't just get me some crumbs of that society, but bring me back out of Jerusalem those that were well, people that they looked to them, they liked them, they were they had some personality to them. That's the devil wants that crowd. You look at it, it's right here. He said, give me some that are skillful in all wisdom. He wanted some who had some skills, that knew how to do something. Some that he could harness their skills for the work of the devil. I'm saddened today by those who come to a place like this and then give their talents to Nashville. We've had so many come through our church, and they going to do something for God until they got the first call from Nashville, Tennessee. We've been blessed with musicians, man, but you let some bluegrass group get a hold, they gone, bless God. Yeah, man. And say, you know, they're doing both. They're a crossover ministry. That sounds too much like cross-dressing to me. Somebody say amen. I'll never forget, Amy Grant landed in Nashville before 9/11, and Dr. Carl Hatch got off the plane with her. And I said, Amy Grant, the contemporary singer. And I said, Brother Hatch, I said, that's Amy Grant. He said, who's that? I said, well, she's a gospel singer. He said, does she know Vestal? I said, I don't know, I guess she does. He said, point her out to me. I said, well, she's a gospel singer, but she sings secular music too. Carl walks up to Amy Grant in the airport and says, hey, Amy, Preacher Hatch, God sent me by to ask you something. She said, what's that, Preacher Hatch? Why'd you quit on God? She said, I hadn't quit on God. I'm a crossover artist. He said, Amy, let me ask you a personal question. Why'd you quit on God? Let me ask you a personal question, young people. Why are you even contemplating quitting on God? You understand? Do you have a concept that God gave you that skill? God gave you that ability. God blessed you with those talents. Why in the world would you want to take your talents to Babylon? Why in the world would you render your skills to Nebuchadnezzar when the King of Kings wants to use you? He was after the studious. Bring me that crowd that they're cunning in knowledge and understanding. They got ability in them to stand before the king. I want the best. Give me the best. And I'm going to teach them of the Chaldeans' language. Let's change their way of thinking. Amen. I'm going to give them some of the Chaldeans' mindset. I'm going to change the way they speak. I'm going to talk, but the Bible tells Deuteronomy 27, Psalms 106, let all the people say amen. I'm tired of Nebuchadnezzar's mentality creeping into our churches. We have our own vocabulary. We have our own vernacular. Amen. I'm not trying to learn the ways of the heathen. I thank God for what I hear in this place. But I also, just as much as I thank God for the amens and the hallelujahs and the glory to God's, I thank God what I don't hear. Every 5 minutes... We're not at some kind of GMA. We're not at some kind of an Emmys. This is not an reward ceremony. This is a worship service. I don't want it to sound like the world. I mean, we're so accustomed to that. Now my son, he's a baller. I mean, any sport. But when he's junior high, he has the record at John Pittard High School for threes. I went over one night, man, he's filling it up. I mean, just everyone that hit him over there. Whoosh. First one, I said, amen. Tracy was beside me. Man, he come down court, just burst down court, got in the corner. Man, they passed it off. He said, whoosh. I said, amen. Dude. He come down. I mean, after seven of them, I done got into, whoop, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And Tracy had both arms up. Are y'all listening? Hey, I had a fella got under conviction while I was praising God for them three-pointers. He done took his chaw tobacco out and put it in his pocket. Are y'all listening? Hey, why do we want to adopt the ways of the world and learn the vocabulary, the tongues of the Chaldeans? He wants the best. How's he going to get them? Y'all hear? We know who he wants. But where does he want them? He wasn't satisfied to besiege the town, to alter them physically. He said, bring them back to Babylon. Get them out of Jerusalem. Get them. And by the way, there's a lot of miles between Jerusalem and Babylon. I think you probably know your homework. Get them as far away from their heritage. Get them as far away from their pedigree. Let's distance them. Let's get them way away. Let's get them way away from Jerusalem. Did you know a far country ain't far away? It's just a step out of the will of God. It's just one deviation. I mean, it doesn't take a full-blown denunciation of old-time religion and quitting. Just go neither to the right hand or to the left. If you go too far to the left, you are a cult. You're a compromiser. If you go too far to the right, man, you're way out of bounds. Hey, Joshua said, when you go in that land of promise, he said, neither turn to the right hand or to the left, but walk in the ways of God. I'm as much against this dead stuff as I am this contemporary stuff. Man, I go in some church and sound like the Lion on the Wizard of Oz singing. Somebody help me now. I didn't know music was supposed to hurt. It hurt me to hear it. Somebody help me. Thank God for some music you can feel God on. They don't want them. They don't want them in Jerusalem. Get them out of Jerusalem. Bring them to Babylon. Get some distance between them. That's what the God, that's what the King wants to do. He wants to do it to your home. He wants to come right here in this place and after we've done our best to train these students and preachers, and then I mean, he's coming after them. He's coming after them. Get them to Babylon. Take them out of their comfort zone. Take them out of that climate atmosphere. Hey, that's the way. Listen to me, friend. We better learn to acclimate. We are in this world. We got some Christians so weak, some of these young saints of God, first time they get any kind of confrontation with Babylon, they cave. Man, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We're more than conquerors through him. How's he going to get them, man? He's going to get them through bribes. You read this story, man. They come in there, man. They've been appointed. They've been bound and they've been tied and they've been walking, I'm sure, for miles and miles with ropes and cuts in their hands. They were thirsty, they were hungry, and the first thing those Hebrew boys saw was the king's table. The devil will bribe you. He's bribing our young people today. He's bribing these younger preachers. Now, you'll never build a church like that. I ain't in the church building business. I'm in the preaching business. The Lord adds to the church such as should be saved. Amen. Hey, listen to me. And he begins to cast out those bribes like lures on the end of a hook. And these old boys, think about the distance. They've come in, these Hebrew children. They've walked in, and man, their feet are sore. And I'm sure they're thirsty and hungry. And they walk into a place like they've never seen, man. The king's palace. Babylon. They've got tables and tables full of the king's meat. The king's wine. And like all young boys, but my son, he can eat you out of house at home. He's a slow eater, but he's a big eater. He's a light eater. He starts eating when it gets light. Amen. Man, he walks into, there they are walking, and I can hear, oh, Shadrach, Meshach, man, look at there, man. Whew, that looks pretty good. I never thought we'd see this in Babylon, did you? Man, the devil makes it look so good. Come speak at our conferences. We'll wine you and dine you. They don't show you what the end result of it is. Amen. Just come over here with us and, oh, you don't have to be so narrow-minded and old folk. It's better. Listen, we're more positive. We take the high road of Christian integrity. We don't talk bad about anybody. Well, let me help y'all. My spiritual gift is criticism. And Tim, I got a double portion of it, praise God. Amen. It looks so good. Can y'all not imagine? And boys, man, we want some. I don't know who it was, but I thank God. Maybe one of them said, hold up, Hoss. That said that Masoretic text, praise God. Hold up, Hoss, wait a minute. That meat might have been offered to a god, a little g god of Babylon. Hey, it may be desecrated meat. Hey, we don't want to eat that cut. No, it might be swine. Man, we're Jews, and we've been set apart. We don't eat hog meat. Hey, man, don't do it. Don't do it. Let me say, hey, don't do it. Don't give in. Hey, don't throw in the towel. I don't care what kind of bribe they offer you. Grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, but there's usually a higher power bill, or it's built over a septic tank. Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on over. This is the no judge zone. Well, you know, no Bible zone. He that's spiritual judgeth all things. The only thing I can't judge is your motive. I'm so tired of y'all getting strung by that. We don't judge. How do you mark those that walk disorderly then? How do you exercise church discipline? We don't judge. No, only thing I can't judge is why you do what you do. If you steal my truck, you know, I ain't gonna like it. It's usually got 8 or 10 guns in it and some booby traps for people who steal trucks. But if you steal my truck, I mean, you may have a justified purpose. You may have a reason that's legitimate. Maybe you got a phone call. Your wife was going into labor and you couldn't find any other vehicle. You saw my keys. Man, I probably would have let you borrow the truck. But nevertheless, if you drove off in my truck, I'd have to say, hey, he stole my truck. I don't know why he stole my truck, but there it goes. Say what you will, actions can be judged. By those false prophets over there in Matthew. He said, by their fruits. By their fruits, you're going to know them. Don't accept the bribes of this world. When he gets them, what's he going to do? When the devil finally does get them, I mean, what's the goal behind it? He's after that generation. And you say that worldly influence doesn't amount to much. You try to tell me, I can mingle with a compromiser. I can run with that crowd. Hey, man, I can go with that crowd that's ecumenical and uses other Bibles. And as long as they preach Jesus. What about striving lawfully? I don't care how far you hit the ball. If you can knock it over the wall every time you get up, you don't touch every base. You got to touch home plate for it to count. There's some boundaries. There's some rules. You must strive. If you're going to, have the reward and the masteries, you got to play by the rules. Results do not always dictate the approval of God. With all due respect to the great Billy Graham, and I say that sincerely, I praise God for every soul that heard the gospel. He's the greatest evangelist, soul winner, and you can disagree if you want to, but you're going to look stupid. But though I can be grateful for his evangelistic outreach, I must also recognize his ecumenical era. It'll be a long day before I accept the approval of the Billy Graham crusade on anything I do. Amen. I don't want their approval. Come out from among them, be ye separate. See, it happens. What to do? They want to, you say, well, that influence doesn't bother me. Well, it bothers us enough that you don't even know the original names. We still call them Shadrach. That was the name of a Babylonian god, Meshach and Abednego. They had enough Babylonian influence that we still call that influence, that stigma, that old stink of the world, that old stench of Babylon, that old fingerprints of the king of the world, Nebuchadnezzar, it stuck to them. It stuck. It won't take you long to get in the world to get brainwashed. It don't take long. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come with not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell me no negative, all positive, no reproving, no rebuking, just exhortation, and scratch me right here because it feels so good. Oh, it relaxes me. I went to service, I was so uplifted. The preacher didn't preach against things. I was so edified. And it said, they shall turn away their ears from, watch this, they shall turn away their ears from truth. That was their decision. Leave old time fundamentalism because it's so shallow. You know, we only embody a doctrine once delivered by the saints. The virgin birth, the vicarious suffering of Christ, the visible return, victorious bodily resurrection, the verbal plenary inspiration of the scriptures. It's so shallow that most Christian school graduates don't know those five things.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Don't you bow up on me, Hoss. They asked me to come here. You had to pay. Amen. They don't even know that, but man, they're quick to criticize the shallowness of our movement because they're brainwashed, because what they do, they heap themselves teachers and they turn away the ears from truth. Notice this, the next act is a judicial act, and they shall be turned unto fables. When they turn away the ears from truth, then God steps in like he did in Romans 1. And he says, I'm going to turn them over unto fables. Fables like, he was born an alcoholic. That's called drunkenness. It's a sin, not a disease. There's nothing about a disease when it comes to drug addiction and alcoholism. It's a sin, friend. That's like me taking a shotgun, boom, blowing my kneecap off. I got the disease of shotgun wounds. No, that's self-inflicted. But you, God, you don't want truth, so he'll turn you over. He'll turn you over. You'll start believing, hell, he was born that way. Born that way. Born. I can't hardly take that. Yeah, he was born totally depraved and condemned already and on a slick road to hell, but he wasn't born a sodomite, I'll tell you that. But they'll brainwash you. They'll brainwash. What they did, they took them, they wanted to change their names. Give them the names of Babylonian gods. Take away Daniel and give him another, Belshazzar. Take away the God-given name. Take away, remove, erase the heritage. What's old devil really want to do? He's doing it. But I ain't quitting. Moreover, of a steward, it's required to be found faithful. You know, over and moreover. You know what we ought to do? Be faithful. Well, I'm not seeing the results I want to see. Guess what? Preach it again. Well, people aren't being saved like I want them to be saved. Well, preach it again. Well, people are leaving our church. You don't understand, Brother Tony. Man, we have good families that they come for years, and then just all of a sudden they say, the Lord's leading us somewhere. I've never seen a man leave a Bible-believing church. I'll say it to this day, no men ever leave Middle Tennessee Baptist Church. Never. Women leave. And they grab that ring in that nose. Spineless, henpecked, potato string backbone. Hey, men like my kind of preaching. Unless Babylon's done got to them. It's a shame when you got women raising their Bibles and shouting and men looking down like they lost a quarter. Amen. We've been brainwashed. What are we going to do? We're just going to keep doing it. Well, what if I don't get asked to speak at conferences, preach anyway? It ain't all it's cracked up to be. Well, what if people don't like me, preach anyway? They're not going to like you either way. What are we going to do about this generation? Well, for one thing, I'm going back to Murfreesboro. I've been recharged looking at all this good material and all these sessions, and I'm going back and I'm going to try to take back some ground. I'm going to take back some ground in the bus ministry. Oh, yeah. I'm going back. There's still some kids out there in the projects and them trailer courts up in them hollers of Tennessee that need a bus to come by on Sunday. Go back and take some new ground in soul winning. I'm going to try to take some young preachers and show them how to do it, you know. God forbid, I hadn't done it like I ought to, but I'm going to try to get some ground back. If God's blessed you, Pastor, with some young men under your tutorship, hey, you ought to do your best to show them how to get it done. Going back. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I just wonder tonight, are we really aware? They won't. And he's laid his hand on it. That gold and silver. It was needed. It's a necessity. We can't worship any other way but God's way. I'm going to go back and say, by the grace of God, old Nebuchadnezzar ain't getting his hand on the vessels around this place. He'll do it over my dead body. I'm going to go back when the bribes come and the temptation comes for the easier way. A way that's more acceptable, a way that's more received. I'm just going to say, well, by the grace of God, you can keep your king's wine. I ain't taking it. Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going that way. Altars are open. Would there be any that would stand with us and say, by the grace of God, I want to do my part to defend the other generation. I'm going to do my part. Though we're in a dark hour, though we're in a Laodicean time, and the sun is setting on the age of grace, and I'm listening for the trumpet to sound just any time. But until it sounds, with God Almighty's help, I'm not going to let Babylon have them. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening and we look around and it seems like we've lost much ground. We look around and we see that the world is blurring the lines of religion. True old-fashioned Bible-based and sanctioned worship. They're trying to take our sounds and our sights and blend it into their temples of Shinar. I pray God Almighty you'd help us to stand, and having done all to stand, and salvage all that we can in this dark hour. I'm thankful that those men, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, had a great impact. Lord, I'm thankful that though they were there in a foreign land, that after 60 years being in Babylon, Babylon never got into Daniel. After all those years of temptations, those years of temptations to bow and to bend, that they stood. I'm thankful that you stood with them, the fourth man in the fire. And I'm praying tonight, dear Heavenly Father, you'd let us sense your presence, that fourth man in the fire. As we go back to our places of service, rural churches, city churches, large churches, small churches. Let us go back with determination that we're going to do our best to salvage a generation. Cry aloud, spare not. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.